Please turn in your Bibles this evening to Mark's Gospel in the 10th chapter, the Gospel of Mark, and the chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, and we'll read together that short section from verse number 13. Mark 10 and verse number 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless this portion of his word to your hearing this evening. Let's seek the Lord's face again for his help to come upon us as we meet together around his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that these verses are found within the pages of Holy Writ. We thank you, Lord, that in them we see the heart of our Saviour towards those in need. And we pray, O Lord, that as we would look upon these verses, that our eyes would fall upon him, and that from the very youngest to the oldest in this meeting, that you, O Lord, would indeed give a word in season. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, wherever the need might be, speak to us tonight, and meet with us around this book. Deal with those who are out of Christ. May we please particularly to point them towards the Lamb of God. Point them towards their Saviour. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. There are two prominent causes in recent decades that on the surface of things are to be commended, but yet have been subject to much misuse. I'm speaking about the matter of women's rights and the matter of the rights of the child. You see, again, on the surface of things, there is neither male nor female in Christ. But yet, the women's right movement has been used in such a way to promote ungodly feminism. And to promote such a view of women that the word of God is denied and rejected. In a similar fashion, we see much to be thankful for in terms of the rights of the child. But yet in the minds of some, it has empowered children as if they were adults. As if they had all the faculties to make wise decisions. That's just taken to the ultimate conclusion. I'm not saying that happens in every case, I'm just saying that's what has happened in some cases. So these things we look upon, well, they cause us some concern. And yet when you come to see our Lord, we see our Lord as the Messiah of God, coming and behaving in a very counter-cultural manner. For in his day and generation, the woman and the child were not held in high esteem. And yet, in verses 1 to 12, we find the Lord teaching regarding the matter of divorce in such a way that was to defend the rights of the woman. That they couldn't be treated in a haphazard manner, in a shoddy manner, and be allowed to be abandoned by husbands at their will and whim. And here we come to see in our verses before us today how the Lord defends the spiritual right of the child. It is a blessed portion of God's word. There is, I believe, a word in season for us all. And this is very simple tonight. I have four, what you might call pastoral words, to four different groups. You might not fit into every group, but you listen anyway, because hopefully there's something to teach in each of the four groups. Boys and girls, you've been here all day. I'll start with you. A word to the children. Now, you have to listen after this as well, but to begin with, a word to the children. And the word is very simple. That the kingdom of God is offered unto you, little children. And that's something that you may know, but let me remind you about it again. You see, when you come to see how the Lord deals with this matter of the young children, again, the emphasis upon their youth, they are young children. And when the disciples turn away, the Lord reveals the heart of God. You know, you've heard it before. Jesus is no ordinary man. Again, boys and girls, you know this. You've heard it from the pulpit, you've heard it in school. Jesus is no ordinary man. He is the God-man. And he reveals God unto all of us. To you boys and girls. And as he deals with the disciples, he reveals the heart of God toward the children when he says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Now, I hope you do this at home, boys and girls. You come and you read the word of God, perhaps in your own bedrooms, and you come to read a verse like this, and it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Don't think that Daddy often says he suffered because of you. That's not what the word suffer means there, is it? It doesn't have the sense of suffering pain or suffering anguish. It's an old English word. So what you do when you read your Bible is you get up, you go to Mummy, you knock the door or you walk in and you say, "Mummy, what does the word suffer mean?" When it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And Mummy or Daddy, they'll say, "Johnny, that's very simple. It means allow." And so, boys and girls, it says in the Word of God, in the words of Christ himself, that the Lord says, "Allow the little children to come unto me." He welcomes the little children. And he gives the reason, for he says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Now, you've just gone back and you've sat down again and you know what suffer means now. And then you go, "What does it mean, of such is the kingdom of God?" That's a very hard one. And you go back. This time, Mummy said, "I don't know, go and ask Daddy." No, of course, Mummy knows well. What does it mean, of such is the kingdom of God? Well, it very simply means that the kingdom of God belongs to you as a little child. Now, we need to think about this in some more detail, don't we? We've come across the kingdom of God a few times in Mark's gospel. And again, if you're doing your Bible readings, and you come to a phrase like the kingdom of God, well, you think, well, I've read that before, just a few days ago, perhaps, in Mark's gospel. So let's look through it. Mark chapter 1. Go back to Mark chapter 1. And let's see a few of these references to the matter of the kingdom of God. Again, boys and girls, we're trying to think of something that belongs to you. So we need to understand, well, what is it that is offered to you? What is it that the Lord says of such is the kingdom of God? Well, in Mark chapter 1, the verse 14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And right away you begin to think, well, the kingdom of God, it has to do with the gospel. Well, I know a little bit about the gospel, it's about the Lord. And you're right, for it says, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God which is at hand, which means have drawn nigh. The kingdom of God has come because the king has come. Because where the kingdom is, or where the king is, there the kingdom is. So the kingdom of God, it's all about Christ. You see that over in chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. See the next time the kingdom of God is used in Mark's gospel. And here we see that the kingdom of God has to do with this mystery. The mystery of the kingdom of God. But look down at verse number 26. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." And so you think, well, the kingdom of God, it's got to do with the matter of the gospel seed being sown in the ground, and then it brings forth fruit. So that's all to do with the kingdom of God as well, isn't it? Or what about chapter 9 of Mark's gospel, keeping on in these various verses in Mark's gospel? And it says in Mark chapter 9 in verse 1, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there shall be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." And we noticed that that's all about the fact that Christ was transfigured and the king was shown in his glory. But again, it's all about Christ, isn't it? These references, they're all about Christ. The kingdom of God is like the seed, which is Christ, the word of God. The kingdom of God is Christ coming nigh. The kingdom of God coming with power is Christ with power. It's all about the Savior. So the issue of the kingdom of God is not like the kingdoms you read about in the old days. I wonder, you boys, you like knights and things, don't you? Boys all like swords. In those days there were kingdoms and realms, and it was all about territory. But in the Word of God, the kingdom is not so much about territory as it is about sovereignty. And what does that mean? It's not so much about area, it's about submission to the king of the kingdom. And so the kingdom of God is what it is because Christ is the king. Here in Mark chapter 10, when you see the verse in Mark chapter 10, you see this kingdom of God is something that you receive. It's like a gift. You know, if I had 10p here, I had 10p, I'll give it away. If I had 10p here, and says, there's 10p, you come and you can receive it. Well, the kingdom of God's like that, isn't it? Something you receive. Receive the kingdom of God. Now, if it's received, what is it that's received? Well, I've just told you that the kingdom of God is all about Christ, and it's all about receiving Christ. You see, look back to Mark chapter 9 and the verse number 43. In Mark chapter 9, the verse number 43, we looked at these verses a few weeks ago about the hand that offend thee, cutting it off, for it's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. But entering into life, according to verse number 47, is the same as entering into the kingdom of God. So in other words, the kingdom of God is all about Christ. It's something you receive, but it's also all to do with eternal life. Because eternal life is not so much about a place as it is about receiving Christ, who is our life. The kingdom is all about the Lord Jesus. Now if you go forward this time to Mark chapter 10, a verse that we'll see perhaps in the next few weeks, you will see that the Lord, speaking regarding this man who refused to give up what he had, the Lord said in verse 24, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. So there again, the kingdom of God is something that not only you receive, but you also enter. But look what he says in verse number 26. The disciples were astonished, and they then said, who then can be saved? So the kingdom of God is the same as being saved. Do you see that? That all fits together. The kingdom of God is all about Christ. And because it's all about Christ, it is all about being saved. And because it's all about being saved, then it's also all about eternal life and living. But children, boys and girls, young people, and you older folks, this kingdom is open to young children. They are not barred from it. As their age gives no merit, so it does not bar them from entering the kingdom of God. The children, they can be saved. Boys and girls, you can receive Christ tonight. The kingdom of God belongs to you if you receive Christ. And that's a blessed truth. So, you don't need to wait to receive it. You don't need to wait until you're 15. I remember when I was 7, 15 seemed very, very old. It doesn't seem that way anymore. But you don't need to wait until you're 15 if you're 7 tonight. If you realize your sin, and you see that the kingdom is offered to you by Christ himself, you can receive that as a gift that he offers to you. But you know, you don't need to wait to receive it, but you must receive it. Boys and girls, I want you to turn back to John, or turn over please to John chapter 1. Because it's a very important thing to notice here. You don't receive the kingdom simply because you're a child. It's not enough simply to be young and therefore to be saved. You have to actually receive it and believe it yourself. In John chapter 1, we read these verses this morning. And it says there in verse number 12, but as many as received him. Oh, we've just seen the word receive. You received the kingdom of God. Well, there's no contradiction because Christ is the kingdom of God. So they receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So to receive is to believe, which were born, listen to this, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Your natural birth, being brought up in a Christian home here in Cuscaria or in Enniskillen or wherever it might be, that does not entitle you to be saved. It's not human birth that saves you, it's spiritual birth. And spiritual birth then enables you to receive the kingdom. So tonight, if you're in the meeting tonight, as a little child, the kingdom's offered to you. But you receive it. You accept it. You acknowledge your sin. You acknowledge that you don't submit to Christ the King, but you want to. You want to turn from your sin, and you want to be saved. And you know, you can do that tonight. That's a word to the children. And in so doing it, boys and girls, when you do that, when you receive the kingdom, what happens in verse 16? The Lord takes them up in his arms and puts his hands upon them and blesses them. When you receive the kingdom, you receive all spiritual blessings. You receive the Holy Ghost to enable you to live for Christ. You receive forgiveness of sins, peace with God. All of these things are given to you when you receive Christ. Because he's the one who's provided for all these things. Where? On Calvary. He's died. He's died that children could receive the kingdom of God when they receive it. So boys and girls, that's a word to you, isn't it? Now, you're not entitled to switch off now. If you can do your best to listen on, then please do so. But that's the word to you for now. It's all about the kingdom of God being offered to you. Suffer the little children to come unto me. The second thing is, there is a word to parents. So parents, wake up, sit up, and listen up. Because there's a word to parents. And parents are encouraged in their bringing of children to Christ. The Lord receives the children, but he receives children who've been brought by their parents. Back in Matthew chapter 19, in the parallel portion of this Mark 10 verses, in Mark chapter 19, in the verse number 13, we see that there's a very clear purpose in the parents regarding bringing the children. We read in Mark that it was that he should touch them, but note carefully that this touch was not some superstitious thing. It was rather the touching perhaps of the priestly work in the Old Testament. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And those words, and pray, are very helpful to us understanding what's going on here with the parents. Two things of some controversy. There is no word regarding baptism here. There's no water involved. There's hands and there's prayer, but there is no water involved. Does that mean you can't be a Peter Baptist? Well, just don't use this text. It's up to you. I have to hold the open view. I find it difficult at times, but I have to do that. But if you're a Peter Baptist, just don't use this text. There is no mention here of water, and there is no mention here of covenant, nor is there a mention here of dedication. There's no mention here of dedicating the children to the Lord. See, for me, dedication for children, that's taken for granted by Christian parents. It's just something you do. That whenever a child is born, you offer that child to the Lord. Now, if you want to do it publicly in the times to come, then we can come and we'll talk about that. You want witnesses? Fine, we can sort that out. But essentially, it's something between you and your wife and the Lord. But it's not there. Certainly, there's encouragement to bring your child to the Lord. But not necessarily in the forms that we find dedication, christening, or baptism. It's a much, much more important thing than that. And that is bringing your children to the Lord that they would receive him. Because it says in verse number 15, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And I believe the implication of that is that these children who were brought, they themselves received the Saviour. They themselves had an interest in the Saviour. They were not simply blessed because they are children. They were not simply blessed because they are children of believing parents. But the blessing is that they looked upon him and received him. But what do the parents do? I wonder if I asked you, how many of you in reading this portion of God's word had in mind that they were all brought by mothers? Don't put your hands up. I put mine up. In my mind's eye, I was thinking, it's the mothers brought them. Of course it's the mothers. Men, listen carefully, please. There are masculine verbs used here. The men are at least involved, if not on their own. And again, we live in a day and age when the raising of children, particularly in things of spiritual matters, are left to the mothers. And we have churches, I'm not speaking about the free church necessarily, but we have churches across the land that are full of women, because that's the woman's job, to encourage the children in things of God. No, godly men. Godly men in the Old and the New Testament are those who stand up and take their responsibility to bring their children to Christ. So what do? They introduce the children to Christ. They bring them by the hand and say, this is him. Look upon him. This is the one who is the Christ. And they show him in the Bible. And then you get the Bible out and you get the children around your knees and you show them Christ. You introduce the boys and girls to Christ. And you tell them, this is what he's like. This is who he is in a person. He is God and he is man. And you show them all his characteristics. And you show them verses like this. You say, look, he invites the children. He invites you to come. And you show them who he is. And you take them the word of God to Calvary. And you show there the Father's wrath was poured upon the Son, that boys and girls could receive the kingdom of God. Men, you must do that. Don't leave it to next door. Please do not leave it to next door, as great a job as they may do. In your homes, you bring your children around your knees and you show them Christ. And at the same time, you then ask Christ to bless them. You bring them and you say, Lord, would you touch them? And you pray for them. And so the Lord blessed them. In that verse 16, he blessed them. It's the opposite of cursing. They're coming and asking the Lord to pray for the favour of God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and give thee peace. Bless the children. Bless the lad, Saviour. You know, such an act requires personal faith. You know, I don't want you to think that I have an umbrage about dedication or baptism or these things. I have my thoughts, of course. But you know, one thing I do fear, and again, I'm speaking in the broadest scheme of Christendom, it is that once baptism or dedication or christening is done, then that's the job done. They've been brought to the Lord and nothing else needs to be done. You know, to bring a child in those days to the Saviour to bless them required that the parents had convictions regarding who Christ was. That he was this Messiah. Remember the context here. The Pharisees are saying, this man is not of God. That's what they're saying. But the parents say, no, we believe that you're the one who can bless our children. And they bring him to him and he prays for them. See, what does it say to a child when they're sent to Sunday school, but the parent has no personal faith in Christ? What does that say? It says that mummy and daddy want me babysat, but it's not such a big deal that I have to be involved in it. Oh, yes, perhaps when I'm young it's important to go to church and Sunday school, but if mummy and daddy really believed in it, surely they'd be going to church as well. I know the application comes right to your own doorstep here in the context of a Christian school. Because what does it say to our boys and girls if we send our children to a Christian school but Christ is not revered in our homes? That in our homes anything goes. But it's okay. They're going to a Christian school. Our children are going to be madly confused. Now the Christian school is important enough. But it's not important enough to be in our home. And so, the parents, there's a word to parents, isn't there? Man, woman, you bring your children and you show them Christ. And you make sure that you're living out your personal faith in Christ yourself. There's also a word to the disciples. There's a word, if you like, to the church. This is all of us now. Nobody's excused. You're all awake again. There's a word to the church. And the word of the church is that we would not restrict the offer of the kingdom. See, the kingdom of God has no natural restrictions. I follow that carefully. We believe with all our hearts that no one deserves the kingdom of God naturally. But in the same sense, no one is turned away by virtue of birth or background or race or sex or age. They're not turned away on those bases. And for the disciples to say, the Lord will receive adults, but not children, is a denial of a blessed gospel word. You know what the word is? Whosoever. The disciples are denying the glorious gospel whosoever. See, look over at Romans chapter 10. We're just throwing out a tangent here. I admit it's a tangent, but it's a tangent that's found within the portion of God's word. Romans chapter 10. And the verse 11, we have the glorious quotation, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. There's the whosoever. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, whosoever, so long as you're 18. Whosoever, so long as you're a Jew. Whosoever, so long as you're a Protestant. Whosoever, and you can add your own interpretation and your own restrictions. You know, we Calvinists, we get accused. You know, it doesn't make me feel very happy, but we get accused of denying the whosoever. No, we don't. Amen. But we mustn't. We must be careful that in our churches we do not restrict the whosoever. That we do not restrict it to people who we think may be worthy. But rather, we pray for the whosoever. We pray and we bring the gospel to the whosoever. So Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9, when he speaks about the matter of his own testimony, he says essentially that he is all things to all men that he may win some. Is there anything in our lives or in our practices as a church that are turning people away from the gospel? We need to think about that. Things that we may do in our own lives that cause barriers before people that they do not feel that they can come to Christ. We need to search our hearts and we need to be careful and we need to think, how do we apply this in day-to-day lives? If that's the general thing to the church regarding not restricting the offer, there is a very specific one, and that is that we would see the Lord's interest in children. As a church, we're going beyond parents here. We're going beyond the words of the boys and girls. I'm simply showing you, look at the interest that Christ takes in the little children. If Christ takes such an interest, how should the church reflect this? By our own children? Of course. By bringing our own children to the Lord? Absolutely. But the Lord is much displeased, the words are used there, much displeased in verse 14, because the disciples turned other people's children away from the Lord. We know certainly Peter was married. Did he have children? Don't know. But the guilt that is laid upon the disciples here is because they turned other people's children away. Yes, happy to have our own children in Christ. Happy to bring up our own covenant brood. But no heart for other children. The Lord is much displeased. And so we have mentioned in recent days the heart that we have to begin a children's meeting in Trillick. And I do so on the ground of a text like this. Because the Lord has interest in children, and we as a church must not turn away other children. That we don't become so focused upon our own children, which is a blessing of God and which we're thankful for, that we say, no, Christ is for our children, but not for yours. And so I ask you, we have a number of months to go, I ask you to pray urgently that God would bless that work. And I ask you also that as a child of God, you would pray fervently before God, asking God what he would have you to do regarding that work. And let's see what the Lord will do. Because we must not turn other children away from Christ. So that's a word to the children, a word to the parents, a word to the church, and finally a word to the unsaved. Because again, the Lord brings a word to the unsaved in verse 15. He says to them, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever," there's the whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. If you don't receive the kingdom of God in a childlike manner, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. What's the main view here? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 18, please. Let me show you what the main central thought is in this matter of receiving the kingdom of God like a child. It's found in Matthew 18, and the verse number 3 and 4. "Verily I say unto you," verse 3, "except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's talking about God's work. The words "be converted" are in the tense that speaks about a work being done to you. It's not conversion in terms of faith and repentance, but rather it's conversion in terms of God taking hold of you and saving you. But in God's work, when he saves a sinner, he makes them to become as little children, so that they in turn exercise their responsibility. For the Lord says in verse number 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself." The essence of sin is pride, and the essence of conversion is humility. And that's why the little child is used. Humbling yourself as a little child. If you're going to be saved, you must humble yourself. You see, there are things that are manifested in the child. Let me just name the three, and then we're done. Again, don't think about your children and think this isn't true. In generalities, children accept truth. When they're told this is truth, they by nature are not skeptical. You learn to become skeptical. You learn to become suspicious. But by and large, and you parents know this, if you tell your children this is the way it is, they will generally accept truth. And if you're going to be saved, I don't care if you're 70 or 80 years old or whatever age you are, you must be prepared to put away your pride and arrogance and accept the truth of God's word. That sin is real, but more, that Christ is a precious Savior. You accept truth. The children also, by and large, submit to rule. Again, there's some kicking here, but by and large, they will submit to rule. Rebellion increases with increasing years. But the little child will generally do what they're told. And again, I'm talking in generalities here. And you know, the heart of the sinner, they will not have the king to rule over them. And so if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to become like a little child and accept that you have one who rules over you, to whom you must submit. Even when you don't like it sometimes, even when you've got to do things that aren't according to your nature, you're going to submit to the king and his authority. And they also receive love. That picture is given to us in what the Lord does. He brings the children unto him. You know, the children, they're not scared of the Lord. I think that's a wonderful thing. His disposition was not foreboding. Children don't respond very well to fierceness. But they respond to tenderness. And as they see the tenderness, they are drawn to it and they receive the love that the tender one offers them. And so they run to the mother. And the mother's arms go round the child. And the child, they melt into the mother's arms, because they receive the love that the mother has for the child. And so it is. The word of God tells you that Christ loves sinners and gave himself for sinners. But you are stubbornly refusing to receive that love. The love that was shown in Calvary, you're saying, "It's not for me, I don't believe it." So you need to humble yourself and be like a little child and receive the love of God shown in the blessed person of Christ. If you don't, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You will not be saved. But you'll be damned. And damned for all eternity. Except you humble yourself and become like a little child. May the Lord bless his word again to our hearts tonight. Let's seek his face as we close. Again, may the Lord apply the word wherever it needs to find that application. May it be applied in our hearts. The eternal God, be pleased to take thy word and go forth, O Lord, as the after preacher, and by the Spirit apply it in each of our hearts and enable us to live out these principles. And that, dear Father, we would see the kingdom of God advance in our days, the glory of Christ and his sovereign reign extended over the unbelieving sinners in this district. We do pray for that work planned for Trillick. O Lord, may we in no way turn away the children, but may we welcome them and draw them to the Saviour for their eternal good and the glory of his name. Amen.